They're just dressing it up. They have the look of abundance, but they have not connected with the real anointing of abundance that God has available for everybody's life. This is how my daddy was saying, y'all got to pray for him. He says, you got a dressed up front with a naked behind. Pray for my daddy. And there's so many people, that's how they live. You would think, looking at it on the surface, that they have it all together. They don't have no problems. They don't have no lack. Their relationships are together. Their emotions, their mental, their careers are going well. But you don't even know that they're just painting it on. Touch your neighbor and say, it's time to live in some real abundance. Amen. And if you're going to live in real abundance, these are two principles that you have to embrace. Work it and keep it. Say it with me. Work it and keep it. See, what we find right here in the book of Genesis, my brothers and sisters, is the idea that God had when he created the universe, more particularly when he created man. That Genesis is very interesting because when we study that book, in Genesis is the gene of the Bible. You see that root word there. And in your gene is the code. It is the secret to everything that shall manifest in your physical body. You have a gene for that says your eyes are going to be a certain color. Your hair is going to be a certain length. You are going to be a certain height. That's in the gene. So it is when we read the book of Genesis, we now are able to peer into the mind of God and we're able to see what God intended when he made creation. It's called the law of first mention. And in proper exegesis, whenever we find something mentioned or described for the first time, that was God's original intent, and that's his intent throughout all of Scripture. Well, when we look at the creation story, we find this principle of no lack mentioned in chapter 2 and verse number 5. Let me read it for you. It says, before any plant of the field was in the garden and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. That's important. But a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became what? A living being. Watch verse 8. The Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Watch this. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Watch 10. He describes this place of abundance. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four river heads. The name of the first is Pishon. It is the one which skirts the whole land of Havilah, where there is what, y'all? Gold. Wait. So God had gold in the garden. God, and look what it says about the gold in verse number 12. And the gold of that land is what kind of gold? Good gold. Wasn't no fake gold. Wasn't no fool's gold. Wasn't no bootleg gold. Wasn't middle of the mall gold. It was real gold. He says, also in that land was bdellium and onyx stone. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one that goes around the whole land of Cush. Watch what he's describing. The name of the third river is Hiddekel. It is the one which goes toward the east of Assyria. The fourth river is the river Euphrates. So all around this place where God had placed man, everywhere you turn, there is abundance. There's gold, there's stone, there's trees for an abundance of nourishment. Because when God created man, he created man with an abundance on his mind. Hallelujah. Touch somebody and say, God has abundance on his mind for you. See, notice this now. Let me just point this out. That before God put Adam in the garden, he had a plan. God has a plan for your prosperity. Don't Don't miss this, people of God. He has a plan. God doesn't just wander throughout existence saying, what shall I do for her next? What door can I open for her now? No, no, y'all. God is a God that plans. Yeah, yeah. That he plans so well that his backup plan has a plan. No, no, no. Let me tell y'all. God is strategic. So that when something breaks out in your life, there's no panic. There's just the institution of God's plan. So when they say they're letting you go, God don't panic. He says, okay, the next plan. Because he's so farsighted that he can see it before it happens. And before it happens, he already got a plan for your prosperity. So that even if you mess up plan A, which was his best plan, he has plan B. And even though plan B is not as good as plan A, plan B will still put you back into the will of God. Let me help somebody, y'all, because some of y'all, you done messed up plan B, even if you are on plan C. Plan C is not as good as plan B and plan A, but plan C will still get you back to the will of God for your life. Just for my people in the back, for those of you that may be on plan X, that even this morning, hallelujah, if you are on plan X, God says plan X is not as good as plan P and plan D, but it'll still put you back on the will of God for your life, which is no lack. Everybody should have clapped right there, because some point, at some time, the first plan failed. Oh, but I thank God that he has another plan for my life. Hallelujah. Touch your neighbor and say, thank him for the plan. Thank him for the plan. Because some of us, we was on our way to hell looking forward to the trip, but God had another plan. He says, watch this, how strategic he is. He says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. I have a plan. He's strategic. Think about it. You remember the life of Joseph? God gave Joseph a dream. Joseph messed it up. Ooh, somebody don't miss this. And told the wrong person about what God was going to do in his life. You got to be careful not to tell the wrong person, because you got some dream killers out there. You got some people that don't have the faith that you have. They can't receive what God has given unto you. And Joseph made the first mistake of telling the wrong people his plan. And I know it looked to be innocent because he was telling it to his brothers. But everybody, just because they have your last name, don't mean they have the same level of faith that you have. Sometimes you got to hide your gift until the right time. So look what they did. Look what they did. Look what they did. They thought they was going to kill him. They thought they was going to destroy the plan. But what happened was, they say, okay, God got a plan to bless you. He says, we're going to beat you up and throw you in the pit to die. That was their plan. But God had another plan, because it was in the will of God that they took him out the pit, and they sold him into slavery. Now, slavery wasn't a good option, but slavery was better than the pit. Oh, Lord. Somebody ought to thank God that you might not be in the best position, but you're not where you used to be. Because God, it could have been a whole lot worse had he left you in that pit. He got to Potiphar's house. And here it is, the plan was messed up again. Because now Potiphar's wife said that he tried to advance on her, and they put him in prison. Y'all got to hear this now. But when he got in prison, just so happened his cellmate had a dream. Y'all don't see the plan at work. And some of y'all got a life just like that. You say, Lord, this door closed. But as soon as this door closed, that door opened up. This person left me, but that person came in. It was all a part of the plan. Somebody ought to thank him for the plan this morning. Somebody, that should show you right there. God will not leave you in lack. Why? Because he has a plan for your life. Boy, and if it had not been for God's plan for me, Because I got off of plan A a long time ago. But I'm so glad God came, got me. Amen. When I was on plan AA, that's when you know you're wrong. That's when you done already circled back around. And some of y'all right now, you on plan CC and plan FF because God says, even if I got to reach way down, I'm not going to let you fall. I am committed to you living a life of abundance. Amen. Touch your neighbor, say, don't panic. He got a plan. That's why I can be calm when I'm going through hell, because I know my God has a plan. I'm trying to get somebody in here. The Holy Spirit is trying to reach you because you all nervous in the service because you trying to figure it out. While you trying to figure it out, God already got a way of working it out. As a matter of fact, the door he about to open is going to be greater than the door he has closed, because God always has a plan for greatness for your life. Hallelujah. Glory to the name of the Lord. Somebody say, thank you for your plan, God. Hallelujah. That devil is a lie. God, I'm not just sitting here. God ain't fall asleep at the wheel and my life is about to run off the road. He knows the thoughts that he thinks about me. As a matter of fact, before he formed me in my mama's womb, he already had my plan in place. He knew I was going to mess up. And before the foundations of the world, Jesus died that I might be saved. Boy, I'm getting excited thinking about the plan, because right here in Genesis 2, we see how strategic God is. See, that's why he could sit and rest. Oh, yeah, this is what the Lord told me the other day. He says, when you are prepared, there is no panic. Now, let me tell you where I got that from the other day. Y'all remember they played the Super Bowl. They interviewed Colin Kaepernick, I think is his name, quarterback for the San Francisco, and he's First year starter. And they said, man, are you nervous? Are you nervous? It's a big game. He says, no, I ain't nervous. He says, because I'm prepared. And he says, when you prepare, it removes panic. Yes. And so some people, I want you to know, the reason why God is not panicking is because your God is prepared. And that's the reason you ought to worship him, because he a God that nothing can catch him by surprise. That nothing that happened, nobody that slips away from here and you wasn't finished loving him. God said, it didn't catch me by surprise, because I'll give you a grace to go through what you have to go through. You didn't see it because it wasn't in your plan, but I was able to look around the corner when you could only look down the road. And he says, I was able to give you a grace to deal with what you had to deal with, because I had already planned and scheduled it into your future. He says, before he put Adam in the garden, he had already planted the seed for every tree that would be good for food. And for every, hallelujah, hallelujah, he said, for every tree, the tree of knowledge, the tree of life, the every fruit, he says, it was already there before Adam showed up. That's what I love about God. He's not trying to get your blessing ready for you. He's trying to get you ready for your blessing. Somebody better hear the word of the Lord in here this morning. This is my third time preaching. I don't care if you shout at all. I'm going home when I leave. But God says, you better get this in your spirit, that I already have some stuff on the ground that you can't see. And I had it there before you even showed up. Hallelujah. He says, and what happened was, before the man showed up, there was just a mist in the garden. Uh-huh. And see, there's some people that are satisfied living in the mist when God is saying, I'm waiting to make it rain. Mm-hmm. I know mist is made out of the same composition as rain, but mist and rain is different. There's some of you in here today, you're satisfied with mist. Oh, but you can be satisfied with mist, but I'm not going to settle for mist when God has promised me rain. Well, watch this. He said, that was my intention, that when the man show up, it's going to stop misting and it's going to start raining. The reason why there is no rain is because the man haven't showed up yet. And until the man shows up, there's nothing that's going to grow. There's nothing that's going to come into being. Why? Because it's when the man show up that rain begins to come in the house. And before you start thinking I'm talking about your husband or your Uncle Bud, I ain't talking about a man as it relates to gender. I'm talking about a man as it relates to maturity. He says there's some things that don't harvest in your life until you get in a place of maturity to say, God, I'm ready for your plan. That I done tried my plan, but my plan don't work no more. Now I'm mature enough to say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Am I teaching all right in here today? And some of you, you need to stop blaming your boss. You need to stop blaming the fact that you ain't got an education. Maybe you need to ask God, am I ready for the blessing yet? He says, when the man show up, it's going to rain. Oh, he says, when you mature to the point to where you're putting God's plan in action, that's when you're going to see the rain. Oh, God. And some of you right now, God is saying, I'm seeing your appetite changing. I'm seeing how steadfast you're becoming. He says, you're ready now to work the plan. Tell somebody, say, I'm ready to work the plan. I'm ready to work the plan. Matter of fact, look at him and tell him, baby, I'm already working the plan. You need to catch up. I already stepping out in faith and trusting God's plan. He says, watch this. When the man shows up, he says, that's when the rain gonna come. And when the rain come, everything that's underground in the invisible is going to begin to come up into the visible. Because there's some stuff that God has for you, but he's waiting till you get a proper age. He's waiting for you to begin to start working the plan. And then you're going to start seeing certain things grow. And they've been sitting there since you were born. But God says, I had to wait not till the boy show up, but till the man show up. Right now, in my son don't know this, both of them, but I have what is called a 529 plan for them. 529 college plan. That's when you can put some money away to invest in their education. They're invested in the market because I don't want my son to have to fight with that girl, Sally Mae, like I had to. Some of y'all should have said amen to that, because you know Sally Mae stay with you. She your girlfriend long after you graduate. And she keep getting money out of you, 10 and 15, and some of y'all 20 and 30 years after you out of college, she's still taking that $279.86 out of your check every week because you are strapped to debt. And because I'm a father that don't want my son to have to go through what I went through, I'm putting some stuff aside for him now because I'm anticipating him to graduate in the future. And right now, I'm speaking it over his life. I'm saying, boy, you're going to college. Boy, you are smart. Boy, you got something great on the inside of you. And all he has to do is to keep on passing tests and keep on getting promotions. And one day, he's going to walk across the stage and graduate, and he's going to walk into everything I've been planting away since before he was born. Some of y'all gonna get this in a moment, because God says, I have a spiritual 529 that when you pass certain tests and when you get to certain levels, it's gonna manifest in your life. He says, but I can't give it to you right now, because the man ain't ready. Because he, right now, if I go to D3 and I say, here you go, son, I got about 45 grand saved up. It's for your college, but I'm gonna give it to you right now. I already know what he's gonna do. He go right down 190 to GameStop. He would buy every Xbox game in the whole store. See, because, watch this, because when you are a child, you use your blessings for playing. But when you become a man, you use your blessings for purpose. I can get a benediction right now because I just said something. When you are a child, you like to play with your blessings. But when you get to be a man, you understand that life is too short for me to be playing with my blessings. I got to start getting focused on God's purpose for my life. Touch your neighbor and say, work the plan, please. He says, Adam, work the plan. Work, and when you work the plan, there's going to be no lack, because you have to believe in God's plan. It can't be your plan and his plan. It got to be God's plan 24/7. Am I preaching to anybody in here right now? Do you hear the Holy Ghost? He says to somebody right now, the spirit of unbelief disconnects you from God's plan. Oh, watch this. But let me give you another one that disconnects us from God's plan. Not just the spirit of unbelief, but it's the spirit of unfaithfulness. Because he says, Adam, I want you to work it. But then I want you to keep it. No. That's different. See, belief is working the plan, but faithfulness is keeping the plan.